Hi, my name is Jana Neumann, and I am your host on the Wunder Mobility Podcast.
Hi, within today's podcast episode of Wunder Mobility's podcast, we are having Johannes Kirschner here from the European Institute of Innovation and Technology, the EIT Urban Mobility, which is a daughter of the Technology and Innovation Institute. And we will talk a bit today about why empowerment and collaboration is so massively important to new mobility projects, and what you and your team are doing to push the mobility shift forward and to push the acceptance of the new mobility projects all over the world. And I'm very happy to have you here. Thank you for taking the time, and a pleasure to talk to you, Johannes.
Yeah, hi, Jana. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, excited for the podcast.
Cool. Yes, for all of the listeners who don't know you yet, Johannes is a mobility expert and has experience since 7 years now already in the mobility area. You started in 2018 as a product manager in ShareNow. So very early already to the fun of a shared mobility, and then transitioned into Cirque as an operations and city manager. So very excited to also get the hands dirty and really do the rough work of the new mobility of the shared mobility. And when Cirque was acquired by BERT, which was also a massive step, I think you also were part of this. You took on your next challenge where you are still active in. This is within the EIT Urban Mobility as an investment and portfolio manager. So very, very exciting role, I think, especially in the in the current market conditions and in the current conditions of the new mobility market. There's so much going on. And would you like to tell us a bit about the EIT Urban Mobility and what exactly you and your team are doing to really push the new mobility projects?
Sure. Yeah. As you mentioned before, the EIT or mobility is basically part of the European Institute of Innovation and Technology, which is a body of the European Union. And we have been established more than 5 years ago and grew to one of the largest innovation communities when it comes to mobility and especially sustainable mobility. So we are really trying to bring all relevant stakeholders together, ranging from industry, cities, universities, research institutions, startups, etc., to all jointly work together to decarbonize the mobility and transport sector. I'm in one of the teams that is really dedicated in investing into early stage startups. So and my role as investment and portfolio manager, we are looking for new ideas to transform mobility. And then we have different opportunities internally to either invest in them directly or to invite them to join one of our programs, where we also have startups to scale within Europe, but also hopefully beyond.
Cool. So you are connecting the right dots to finally make the shift to new mobility and have your hands everywhere and trying to find the right partners, right?
Yeah, that's a bit the challenging task when it comes to mobility. I mean, mobility on a broader picture is a very emotional topic because it involves so many different stakeholders. That's why it's so important to actually talk with cities and really understand what cities need. But then for sure you need new solutions and kind of the industry or startups to deploy new ideas, to test new products. But it's a huge complex network that you have to really stimulate to make this transformation happen.
Yeah, sounds very, very interesting. And before we jump into more specific topics, so you are now since 8 years in the new mobility area. What is keeping you running? So what is what attracts you personally to this market? And what do you think is for you the biggest challenge and also the biggest the biggest thing you can make happen with your work in new mobility?
Yeah, as you introduced myself, I mean, I had the chance to experience mobility from different perspectives already in my early career. I mean, it started back then also at an internship, as many of the Munich people do, at a Munich car manufacturer here in Munich. But that was the first touch to the automotive industry. Then I transitioned more into this. Yeah, not maybe we should not every one of us should own a car, but maybe sharing is a bit more the right way to go. And that also transitioned me to CIRC, so also focusing on micromobility more in our cities, which is a way more effective way of traveling in cities. But all along that journey, also living in different places like Copenhagen or Barcelona, I saw different ways and actually very promising ways of how we can also rethink a bit the mobility in our cities. We all know climate change is already there, so we really have to act now. And the transport sector is, yeah, still contributing to approximately 25% of the greenhouse gas emissions globally. And to ensure that we can really decarbonize the transport sector and to make it also more effective and even safer for everyone, that keeps me kind of running. If you today live in big cities and just look outside the window, you can rarely see a change. I mean, it's still very dominated by cars, by space that is dedicated to cars. But we also see good examples in Europe, that this shift can really happen. So it's still a long way to go, but, I'm very optimistic that we can tweak it around.
Cool. Yeah, we also internally always say, guys, it's a marathon and it's not a sprint. So
I wish really it would be a sprint.
Yeah, it's more a marathon, maybe even a mountain marathon. But so it's great to have such dedicated people in there who are really pushing to the limits. And I think you also already teased it a bit. We are all aware that the mobility is not yet in the stage in which we want to see it, and we need to see it from an environmental perspective. The EIT is working very, very hard on multiple projects to make the change happen and to increase the adoption, to also help new starters to enter the market, maybe with fresh ideas, who would not have a chance without funding, without money, and would also maybe not receive it from someone else. What do you think are the, so out of all projects the EIT Urban Mobility is working on, what do you think is really the kind of North Star project where you think there's the most in it?
I think it's really a combination. And for me, I think the key, what we try to also try to achieve to see mobility as a holistic approach. It is, I mean, there are extreme theories around let's get rid of all cars in the city. There are extreme theories around let's only focus on bicycling, like biking in cities. There's a huge move in just applying all kinds of technology to mobility and hoping that technology will solve all the issues. But what we really try to work on is to see mobility from a holistic perspective. And that even starts not by just deploying new innovative ideas, but also to equip talent with the right skills. So in very short, but we kind of focus not only on startups and new ideas, but we also have an academy department that is providing courses at universities to equip PhD students with entrepreneurship skills to teach about the latest mobility trends. We do a lot of these educational videos to share best practices all around Europe. And then for sure, it's about funding these ideas and projects. And there we also have a dedicated team that is really testing market-ready solutions in different cities in Europe. That's also a bit the beauty, but also the challenge in Europe, that you have a very fragmented market and also a very high diversity in terms of cities. I mean, a city like Barcelona operates differently, like a city in Stockholm or others. So here it's also about that we really think European and that we try to scale and deploy solutions in different European cities. And then if these projects or pilots are successful, then it's really about also financing them, investing in them, ensuring they have the resources and the capital they need to really scale and then make a lasting impact. So also thinking big. So that's a bit the wider perspective, how we try to tackle this mobility dilemma.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you already called it dilemma. And I think this is also, on the one hand, it's the beauty of the market. On the other hand, it's also the challenge of the market for many of us and for many operators, for us as a SaaS platform, but for many other players, that it is so fragmented. What is your guess for the future if you have one? Will it stay as fragmented as it currently is? Will we see way more mergers, especially between the big ones? Will they eat up the smaller ones, maybe the more innovative small startups? So what is your guess, or also your wish for the future in this regard?
Yeah, it's a challenging one, and I mean, mobility experience in the last year is really a lot of ups and downs. I mean, you were also at the forefront, and like we saw the micro mobility bubble not exploding completely, but there was also a lot of consolidation going on. We saw a lot of the sharing economy not really picking up as many were hoping for, and then really hard and challenging to make these businesses profitable and around unit economics, etc. So mobility is definitely a challenging field also for investors to go into, because you have very long cycles, and it takes really for many, like it takes a lot of time for people also to adjust their mobility behavior, to change their mobility behavior. But for me, if I could map a future when it comes to mobility, I really hope that we will achieve to really decarbonize the transport and mobility sector. So really pushing electric mobility, to push active mobility, public transport, sustainable logistics, all these topics. But then having a greener, more sustainable, safer, and more efficient mobility mix in our cities, which is also inclusive. So it's also not about just adding new solutions that are very easy to adopt from the young generation, but also having inclusive solutions for elderly people, for people with limitations. So, and then connecting, it's as you teased it a bit. So I'm still hopeful, also working for EIT, that it's also about bringing together all the relevant stakeholders. So it's not that only the industry is pushing in that direction and you have the cities pushing in the other direction, but that there are more initiatives where these different stakeholders are really working together for a better future. There are great national initiatives, great European initiatives, and I think that should be really the ambition of everyone working in this field, that we collaborate for a better future and not just try to push our private or personal interest through.
Yeah, it's not fighting against each other and try to get the biggest market share, right? It's really about, I think we are really still lacking a lot of adoption from the people living in the city, which, and I think the root cause for that is that it's not yet as convenient as maybe having the own car just in front of your house. You can jump in, you always have it available. Of course, I think most of the people know that it's not the best way of transportation and that it's maybe also not the cheapest way. I think no one really calculates at the end of the month what the own car really costed them. They just see when they then use a shared car or a shared scooter or e-bike, then they get the invoice and might think, oh my God, that was hell expensive. And this is also caused, I think, still by the fact not really the partners or the people in the mobility field not really working together and collaborate together, but trying also this kind of having the cheapest pricing or really compete against pricing, compete against the users. It is, from a business perspective, it is all understandable. But I think from a perspective of the user, and this is what we need to push most to make it successful, it is not that they just don't care, because why should they? So do you have ideas or already working patterns in bringing these partners closer together? Are you active in lots of conferences, or how is the EIT Urban Mobility handling this dilemma and bringing people more together?
Yeah, I mean, before I can highly recommend one article that is still really inspirational for everything I do. It's published in Wired, that is called "The People Hate the Idea of Car-Free Cities Until They Live in One." It's a great. It's exactly about these, you know, carrots and sticks you need to really change consumer behavior, because it's also super challenging to envision that there are no cars in a city, and to see, like, dedicate more space to other patterns. But at EIT, I mean, that's really the DNA. We have approximately 1,000 partner institutions, and they are coming from industry, from cities, from the public sector, from research. And typically when we structure projects to really try and test new ideas, there needs to be kind of a coverage of like city involvement, sometimes even citizens involvement. Then you have industry, commercial partners, but then ideally also some research backing, that it's also about really then analyzing the project results and the impact of these small projects, and then learn from these smaller projects to either scale them in other cities, or I mean, also to be transparent, some of these projects are not flying, and you realize, it's not being picked up by users, and for some reason they don't use these shared stations. So also taking these learnings of let's say failed projects to then make it more effective in the future, and really take this feedback also seriously by the users in the end. As you said, it's very tricky that, I mean, you can have the best solutions out there, and we saw it with like a lot of shared bikes, etc. But if you just bought a car like 5 years ago, it's a big step to resell it or to move to a bike. But we really try in the projects, or also working with startups. I mean, even there, I just met one of our portfolio teams today, and they still struggle so much to access cities and to talk with public transport operators, because also these stakeholders are not really familiar with how a startup operates, how fast startups operate. So also here, we serve as moderator to manage expectations, and also trying to bring them closer together, so that startups understand a bit more the public perspective, and the public understands the critical startup perspective as well.
That would have been my next topic, especially how to combine the public transportation sector and city regulations, because at the moment there's many different city regulations. In which city you look, they are different. And still, I think Hamburg is doing it quite well already with combining the public transportation with the new mobility services, with shared mobility, with autonomous driving, with Moya, all this. But what do you think is needed? And you already shared a bit, okay, exchange the DNAs, get a common understanding, why is a startup maybe faster, and it's not meant that it's always a worse solution if it's fast on the market. I think this iterative approach in start with something and then iterate based on the user feedback, this is missing in the non-startup environment. And is this something where you also kind of have projects or even classes for to really let them also start from a user perspective, with having the users in mind, because they are the ones who need to use it in the end, right?
I think Hamburg is a great example. I think they really, I mean, and there are other examples out there of cities that are really have dedicated teams that work with startups, who give opportunities to pilot solutions, who have maybe also more, not as strict procurement process as many others for certain amounts. There are also ways to be a bit more flexible in that aspect. So I think there are some really good practices out there. What you mentioned is a very valid point that it's still very fragmented, even in Germany, right? I mean, it's amazing that we have now the Deutschland ticket, for instance, where you can access all public transport within Germany for a fixed amount. But then if you go beyond Germany, it already starts that you would need another one. And I mean, that would be also a vision of my to have like a European card or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But before the Deutschland ticket, for instance, I mean, it was crazy that you went from Munich to Hamburg and you had to download the public transport operator app again and et cetera. So I think it's a bit these, I think, two challenges or bottlenecks we have to overcome. Like on the one end, that we really think European really if we have great projects like in Hamburg, that we ensure that you're not starting the same project in another place all over again, like in a couple of years, but really take these research results or this great practical example from Hamburg, and then, hey, let's go to another city in Europe and see how it goes there. So really comparing these projects. And then secondly, for sure, I have to check if we have some courses, but what we did once, we have kind of a city club where some of them big European cities meet, I think once a month or once every quarter. They discuss different topics. And lately, we also invited startups not only pitch their ideas, but to also discuss a bit about the different expectations. And that was very, very enriching because, I mean, even at city level, I mean, you have a lot of dedicated, innovative people that really would love to work more with startups and to deploy solutions. But sometimes it's really that we are stuck in this outdated system that is not really allowing like cities to take risk. I mean, they operate with public resources. So for sure, you also don't want that they just waste a lot of money in investing in random startups, but it needs to be a kind of a balance between, that we don't wait too long. And we see also on global competition that we really have to catch up. But it's, I think there need to be even more, education, but also really about bringing them together to work then closely in solving some of these major challenges we face in mobility.
Mm-hmm. So when you run some pilot projects in cities or with some startups, I think you either write down the project application and startups can apply to serve you for that, or they will also apply at EIT Urban Mobility to run this project and get some funding for that. Do you struggle for these pilot projects with city regulations and with discussions, or is this kind of easier because it's framed as a pilot? And what is the biggest challenge to then, if it is successful, to really prove that this was a success and scale it afterwards? Or is it then often stuck?
We do have a team that works on agile innovation, and they really start actually with the city. So they go out to many cities and ask them, do you have any like really niche challenges to where you couldn't find a solution yet and that you would like to try to solve in a short project or a pilot? Typically they go only like 6 months or something. The startup gets a bit of financial support, and the city is basically just providing the space or kind of the guidance. That works pretty well. But as you said, it's then really the challenges from pilot to scaling. So there are also different theories around, does a pilot make sense at all? Like, should the startup not work on really real customers and don't waste like a lot of time and resources on just a pilot? But again, given that mobility is still a very broad topic and there are so many different use cases, I still believe it really makes sense. Also, maybe these indirect effects that then you really have people from the city level and startups working together in one project just to know each other, to know the pain points, I think this on the long run also has some leveraging effects. And if they make, good impressions, if they have good experience with more and more startups, and also to, get a bit rid of the misconceptions or prejudices of startups, I think then you can really turn these pilots into long-term projects. But that's for sure a challenge. And we haven't found the magic recipe yet. But what we really try is to ensure they are getting closer to each other.
And who in the end is judging if this pilot was a success or not? So is this also still work in progress to have the right kind of expectation management, and also beforehand define, okay, what do we expect? What do we wish for? And when do we call it a success to continue with such a project?
Yeah. There are clear KPIs. I mean, not only, we are also very strict on like impact, and impact really on like the environmental impact, but also social impact. So also here, we talked before about user adoption. So, I mean, you can deploy a solution, but if nobody is using it, the impact is zero or even negative because you spend a lot of resources. So there are these measurements as kind of objectives of these projects are set. But then the expectation management, that is a very critical part, because we also sometimes then startups enter in these projects with big cities, with big hopes. But then the pilot ends and it ends. It's also sometimes really about ensuring that expectations are managed well. And also, you're also speaking to the cities that for startups, this is really like requires a lot of resources, a lot of time. So ideally, there is also like a clause to how to potentially continue that project moving forward. We try to like de-risk a bit these market dynamics. But then in the end, it's still the city that decides how to move on. But it's also, I think, a very relevant topic to talk more about, because in Europe, we are also very strong in projects and research.
Yeah.
We lacked a bit this in the last decades. To bring it in action, exactly. And I think that's really now it's the time. It was already the time of the decades ago, but now it's really about, okay, let's try, let's risk, let's deploy solutions.
I could also imagine that it's hard to get with a project with the cities. It's hard to get capacity from the city itself. So even if the startup is doing the core work and the main effort and capacity spent, I can imagine that it's pretty hard to also get the capacity from the city. And this is then the main challenge, right? To really, they would maybe think, okay, the project is done by this smart, nice startup, and they are doing it, they are presenting the results, and then we take a decision. But if you never worked hands-on really with this project, then it's even more hard to get a decision, to get a positive decision, right? So is it in your game plan for such projects to really at least have one capacity also from the city, and to have a close collaboration that they feel also the impact on the project?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what my colleagues are doing, that they really sit down with the cities sometimes also it's really hard to define an exact challenge what they face, because all of these cities, they have huge ambitions and great strategies how to change mobility. But as it's piece by piece, it's sometimes challenging to where to start and what to actually do and what's the priority. So there, my team, my colleagues are actually working together with cities to really have a clear understanding what they would need. And then we support in also scouting technologies and startups in the market to then work together. But it's for sure clear that in this project, it should be really that both parties are contributing. So it's also, there was also a tendency sometimes that yeah, cities or other stakeholders, industry are more lean back and they look to a few, listen to a few startup pitches, and then they're not really, like, have not real skin in the game.
But yeah.
Something we try to mitigate at the beginning, that this is really like a mutual effort. And we have great feedback also. I mean, yeah, from different cities, like the city of Munich, Barcelona, but they also are really positive, how these startups were tweaking it around or that they get the chance to do projects like that.
Yeah, you already said it. It's pretty. So all the cities have big missions and big visions about their mobility shift. And in the end, it is also about creating the understanding that you need to start peeling the onion and cannot have the big batch of now we have one pilot project and this will solve all our mobility issues in the city. But really to also get the understanding, okay, let us start with one thing, make it right, implement it, deploy it. Let the users adopt it, and then we can start with the next one. So do you feel also kind of this impatience from some partners or from cities if you really start to or try to start small? And do they push more into the big mission always?
Yeah, I mean, here it's also a bit coming back to the complex situation we have in mobility that it's also like a lot of around, like, we operate mainly in public space. And then, as mentioned before, it's very emotional. So also at city level, I mean, there are great examples like we saw in Paris where they really take these bold decisions and take away like hundreds or thousands of parking spots overnight or almost.
Mm-hmm.
And they live with the criticism of the car users, but it's a bit this that sometimes you just need to take action and then live with the consequences.
Take bold moves,
So I think that's also a great example that it can happen, and for sure you cannot make everyone happy, but if you follow your strategy, let's go for it and let's think big. But then also, like in Germany, we have a lot of regulations, and it's also not that easy for individual cities to really take these extreme measurements, because they also have to really balance the different interests.
And budget and everything.
And budget for sure. Budget, internal resources. So yeah, it's sometimes I like, at least most of the people I got to know in the past years, everyone knows we need to change. Everyone knows it. It's also that, I mean, if you just look into the numbers and statistics, it's just no longer efficient to build cities around cars, and to, so there are a lot of research that we really have to change. And I sense that from industry to cities, startups for sure, everyone is willing to really change and to contribute. It's now just about the how. And that's, unfortunately still this marathon. But I'm very optimistic that the change will happen. And the more great examples we see in Europe, but also globally, I think then you just need to take bold decisions. If something worked in Copenhagen and you see, like, I don't know, the great biking network there, let's implement that also in other cities and take these learnings and work together with the people from Copenhagen, to then deploy solutions like that in other parts.
Really take the best practices, right?
Yeah.
So we read, yesterday or even today in the news that Czech is profitable as never before. So really great numbers. So mobility, shared mobility can be profitable, which is currently not the fact for all mobility providers, I think. But this example shows that it is possible. And this needs to be shared and also needs to be used for trust building in this whole area, right? Because I think for a period of time, especially with COVID and then the war coming up, end of cheap money, it was kind of also a bit burned, this whole mobility sector. So kind of, you can just burn money but not earn money. It's great that it's back on track, that now we do have lots of people and the right people who really wants the change, who understood that we need the change. and such great examples with Czech now that it really can be profitable, or with green mobility in Copenhagen, also electric car sharing, which can be profitable. So it's just the beginning, I would say. Do you struggle in your projects, or also in your maybe later stage startups where you started with, also maybe funded, to make them profitable? Or is this one of the main questions also maybe in the courses on university? Like, okay, it's great to build up a startup, but what can I do to really make it profitable and to really make it a business?
Yeah, it's, and that's for sure also what I experienced back at Zurich. I mean,
as an operations manager,
I mean, it was for sure super challenging to put these operations profitable. And we saw, like, especially in this hype, we saw a lot of startups that overdid it, and also investors who just pushed startups and valuations all the way up. I see now that the good learnings from back then, I think, is now that investors changed a bit the mindset to not just look for, again, like a moonshot idea or the hockey stick solutions, but really startups that solve real problems. And in mobility, as we all know, sometimes it takes time, and we have a lot of companies also working in the public transport operators where you cannot expect these growth numbers and signals like you have with a classic B2B SaaS startup. So we actually, when we look into cases and projects, we have kind of this impact perspective on that. We also need to look for financial returns, absolutely. But alongside, we also look for environmental, social returns. And this can also happen in kind of a linear growth, rate. Yeah. So
it's more not a hockey stick.
And I think that's also a bit where people have to, and also the financial markets need to shift a bit their mindset, that some, like, also with climate tech and deep tech, I mean, it just takes longer than what the classic VC cases would normally take. And I also hope that this is a bit more, that investors, but also other organizations, are a bit more, more understandable when it comes to these linear growth rates. But for sure, we have now grown a portfolio of, or we have invested in around 150 companies, a very diverse portfolio spread around whole Europe. But yeah, for sure, we also saw companies struggling in mobility. It wasn't the best market to operate in, as we all experienced ourselves. But I now see really positive signals moving forward. Yeah. And there was also a great announcement a couple of days ago around Shift for Good, a mobility impact investor from Paris that just closed more than 200 million as a fund. So you can also see that money is being deployed, and money, to my understanding, is not the issue.
Main problem.
But it needs more bold people, investors, to take these decisions and have maybe a bit of more time to help these startups then evolve in Europe.
Have a bit of patience, right? Because it's not just deploying a new product. It's really about changing behavior of people. And this is so hard and will take some time. It is really, I think mobility is in the nature of us humans. And we were long time used to just be independent with an own car. And it is a prestige object and all this. And this needs to change now, which just cannot come overnight, right? So as you said, some bold moves and also patience from the investors is definitely needed. And I also strongly believe that we are on a very good track, and especially since a few months, half a year, we are also getting more positive signals again from the market, which is quite nice to see. I think also new market segments open up. I'm not sure if you are already in this area. You said you are talking to lots of cities and lots of stakeholders. What we do see growing is definitely also the corporate sharing, so that the corporates, big corporates, wants to get rid of their employee cars and really using this, the car as a service. And I think more and more of such segments also coming up, which are close to shared mobility. And are you also already talking to such corporates, or is this still a bit more early stage, or also connecting startups with that? So what is the state for you in there?
No, absolutely. I mean, we saw a lot of corporate mobility solutions in the last years. Most of them couldn't make it for whatever reason. So it's a challenging environment. I think now what plays a bit into the cards of startups and providers who have corporate mobility concepts is that now really the CO2 targets at European level are really coming into action, and there is now this pressure, this real pressure for companies to change. And I think this also opens again new opportunities for startups. And for sure with corporates and businesses, I mean, you have a great leverage effect. I mean, most of the people also in Munich, I'm not sure if it's the same case in Hamburg, but most of the people are commuting, in the morning into the city, and then they leave again in the afternoon. I'm pretty sure it applies to many, many European cities. Mm-hmm. And then for sure you need to address, this challenge. Because it's not necessarily the people that only live in the city, but really the people that are coming in every morning. And here you also, then if you can incentivize via your employer, give them, like access to public transport for free, or doing sharing or pooling concepts.
Mobility budgets or something like this.
Budgets as well, yes, that they can still choose what they would like to spend it for. Mm-hmm. But I think again, this is also one really key stakeholder to make this transformation happen. And we have to really, it's a bit like you have a construction site and you have to,
it's like a puzzle.
but I think we really have to fix everything, and as soon as possible. But for sure, we also still are very eager also to look into these solutions. So it's definitely a relevant field for us as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Last but not least, what are you looking most forward to in the next 1, 2, 3 years? What do you think will be the biggest highlights you foresee for the new mobility, or also some projects you can share where you think, okay, this will kill it in 2025 or 2026?
I really hope that despite these ups and downs we faced in mobility in the last decades, that we are now coming back to a great year where we invest in new mobility solutions ranging from, let's say, electrification. Here it's also this huge value chain. It starts with battery recycling, battery upcycling. There we have a great company called Circulion, based in Germany and Luxembourg, that are doing great, who take care of upcycling batteries. Make us also a bit independent from the macroeconomic.
Yes, you never know what happens there.
Yeah, so we better have solutions ready to scale there. Then electrification, also there, like that we also really push electric mobility into the market, not only the electric cars, but also this continuous push in electric micromobility. Then charging infrastructure is for sure key. It's a bit this again, stick and carrot. So if you don't have charging infrastructure, you won't have the electric cars. So I also hope that here Europe is taking bold moves to incentivize people to really shift. For us, also one priority area is still public transport. It's there. We have a great company, pretty fresh on the market. It's called Future Rail from Munich and also based in France. They focus on technology for autonomous trains of the future. Because it's also one of our assets in Europe. We have this amazing rail network, really connecting every single corner of Europe with each other. And here we all know the pain, that it's not always the most reliable or effective way of transportation, but we have to this, the infrastructure there. And if we are really, still remain motivated to make use of that and to add a bit of new perspectives, new technologies, new startups into the field, I also feel there's a lot of potential to put more logistics on rail, but also to also people transport instead of maybe flying from A to B. And last but not least, that's a bit the low tech trend, but what we should also not forget is that walking, cycling for people who are able to do so and is still the most sustainable way of transportation in our cities.
And the most healthy.
And the most healthy, exactly. So there I also hope that we take great examples like Copenhagen or in the Netherlands. They're amazing with embodying this biking infrastructure and culture that I learned it by heart in Copenhagen, that also rain is not an excuse to not take the bike.
It's in Hamburg the same.
It's in Hamburg probably. So I mean also that we change also here a bit the perception that that shouldn't be an excuse to not take the bike. So also pushing into these low tech solutions, enforcing bicycle infrastructure, bicycle like highways, like other countries that have it. I think that's a bit like, and then, maybe as a last point, but for sure the logistics in the city, like how we move goods and people within the city, but also beyond. That's also an area where a lot of optimization is possible. To also have, not our dear diesel vans going really into every single small street of the city, but also like many of the companies are already starting to use, cargo bikes or bikes for the last mile. I think that's also still where everyone would agree that this should be more effective, even if it's at the beginning, maybe not as profitable, but. That's a bit the way forward, but I'm very optimistic for the mobility landscape in 2025, but also beyond. I think we just need bold actions, bold decisions, and
that's
then
right.
We can achieve it.
Maybe you need to invest in rain gear if you want to push the cycling industry in Northern Europe. So. Maybe one other idea for the next investment for the next startup to really find perfect and nice rain gear.
Good point. You also have to be creative sometime. Yeah,
that's right. Cool. Yeah. It was so nice talking to you, Johannes. Great to see what is so all the moving puzzle pieces and also the different sectors you and the EIT Urban Mobility is in. So I also think the future looks bright. We need to be a bit patient to really make it happen. But we just need to continue with the marathon and then we will also reach our final goals, I think. Absolutely. It was great having you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.